welcome to Thriving as a Physician, the podcast that teaches you to thrive in your weight loss and life while juggling a packed physician schedule, because you deserve to thrive. Each week, I share sustainable, enjoyable tools that work in your busy life so that you can reach all of your goals faster with more confidence. Everything in this podcast is backed by my experience as an obesity medicine physician, years of coaching physicians on weight loss and eating, and my own personal weight loss journey. Let's get thriving. This podcast contains general educational information on weight loss for physicians. I am not providing medical advice, and listening to this podcast does not create a physician-patient relationship. This podcast does not replace the need for consultation with a licensed professional, and no information should be relied upon unless you have obtained specific advice or treatment from myself or another physician. Please review the terms and conditions located at www.weightsolutionsforphysicians.ca before continuing. Welcome to episode 280 of the Thriving as a Physician podcast, How to Lose Weight and Love Your Life. I'm your host, Siobhan Key, and I'm super happy that you're joining me today. I have a good one for you, a really important topic. Today, we are going to talk about what hidden standards we hold ourselves to as physicians and how they impact your weight journey, but also your life, how they make it harder to do the things you want to do and also make it harder to just feel good day to day. I think these are really important things to look at. Be aware of where you're holding yourself to hidden standards, and then decide if those are the standards you actually want to hold yourself to. So we're going to dig into that in detail today. But first, if you have not already, come join us inside the Binge Freedom Bootcamp. If you are a physician and you identify with binge eating, you need to come join us. I'm offering support all month long. You do not want to miss this. There's still one more live session. Plus, you get access to the replays of the two previous live sessions. We are digging deep into binge eating. At the end of this month, you will have a totally different outlook on your binge eating, how you can solve it, all the different places that you could create change without working harder. But you need to come join us. So head over to weightsolutionsforphysicians.ca/binge to join us. That's weightsolutionsforphysicians.ca/binge. Register, and then you will get an email with a link to the replays, as well as notifications of the upcoming live events and ongoing email support in between the sessions. So it's not just the live events. You're also getting access to just little motivation tidbits to keep you focused during your weeks, because that really matters. Things like binge eating don't change in one session per week. How they change is by just constantly reintroducing these ideas, these shifts that you're working on throughout the week. And that's the purpose of the emails that I'm sending out. Can't wait to see you in the session. I wanted to do this episode because so often over the years that I've been coaching physicians, the concept of being not enough in some way is so pervasive. Almost every physician I have coached has a belief that they are somehow not enough, that they are somehow not measuring up. And this makes me really sad because this is a group of very high achieving women that do amazing things every single day. A lot of them do stuff I could not do that would scare the pants off me to do with some of the specialties they're in. And yet, they can go through those days and feel at the end of the day like they just weren't enough in their day. And I think that is a shame to spend your life thinking that. If you're a physician and you identify with going to bed just feeling regret about something, didn't do something quite enough, well enough, or didn't get enough done, all those different things, it's a shame. We shouldn't live our lives always feeling like we're not measuring up. And on a collective level, I think of the power wasted by we as women physicians questioning whether or not we're enough and maybe silencing ourselves, maybe hesitating to speak up or to suggest change or to comment on things because we have this underlying belief that we're maybe not enough. I like to think how powerful and how much would the world change if women just decided they were enough and that they were actually pretty amazing just as they were. And owned that. I don't know if you can visualize it or see it, but when I picture it, there would be so much positive power given to the world to create really good things in the world just by women recognizing that they're already enough. That's it. Not doing more. Just by recognizing that you, as you are right now, you are already enough. And I think that's important when we're talking in the context of eating and weight. This being an eating and weight podcast, because it can be really easy to also think that you are not enough until you are a certain size, or until your eating matches some guideline of what eating should look like. And that's a waste too. You are enough right now. You're more than enough. You are amazing right now. And you can choose to work on your eating. You can choose to work on your weight for reasons that feel good to you, but don't do them because you think they'll make you more, a better person, that they'll somehow let you achieve some level of enoughness, because that will not happen. What will happen is you will reach that goal and still feel like you fall short in a lot of areas of your life. The solution to feeling more stronger and like you are doing enough and you are achieving enough in your days is not to reach a number on the scale. That doesn't work. We have to change the thinking about what standards we hold ourselves to, how we determine if we're meeting those standards, and how we speak to ourselves about our achievements and our accomplishments during the day, and also our rest time, because that's needed too. It's so easy to just be in this mindset where everything has to accomplish something, and that resting has a negative impact. If there's things on your to-do list and you choose to rest instead, that somehow that's a failure. It's so easy to always be in that overworking mindset, and yet resting is important. It's valuable. You deserve it. It's not something you need to earn. It's a normal part of life. Let's dig into this. I got to tell you, like, I've definitely held myself to all of these hidden standards over my life. I think I've worked on it, but they keep coming back up in different ways. There's different versions. And some of this is really how our brain's programmed. We have mirror neurons that are looking around us and looking at the world and trying to match ourselves to the world. And so some of this is your mirror neurons at work, especially when we're thinking about what does a good mom look like? What is a good doctor? It's your mirror neurons kind of looking around. How is a good mom portrayed in the world? How is a good doctor portrayed in the medical community? And then assuming that that needs to be the way you are in order to fulfill those roles. So some of this is just brain chemistry, which means it will keep coming back. There will be sneaky ways it happens, and that's okay. The thing to be aware of is just noticing it and be like, oh, that's a standard I'm holding myself to. Do I actually want to hold myself to that standard right now? Is holding myself to that standard feeling good? Does it make my day better? Does it make me feel good about what I'm doing in my day? And if not, what is the value of it? Is there any value? This is one of my favorite activities that I do in coaching calls. When I'm coaching a physician and it's obvious that there's a standard that they're holding themselves to and they just struggle with letting it go, I like to do this activity where we actually write it out on a whiteboard. What is this standard? And I've done lots of them over the years, but the different hidden standards you might be holding yourself to might be the concept of a perfect doctor and feeling like I'm never quite a good enough doctor because I'm not a perfect doctor. It might be a perfect mom, holding yourself to this standard of being this perfect mom and always feeling like you're just not doing things quite enough or correctly enough. Concept of perfect healthy habits, thinking about what's the standard that I'm expecting of myself. And because these standards are often steeped in perfection, they usually are not attainable. So you always feel like you're not quite there. And particularly for that one, what happens is when you always feel like you're not quite there, you then feel crappy about yourself. You feel shitty, which then makes it so you're less likely to do the healthy habits. When you're feeling shitty about yourself because you never seem to hit this standard of this perfect diet or perfect exercise regime, how likely are you to continue doing it? Maybe on days where you have a lot of energy, but on days where you're busy, that standard is going to get in your way of actually being consistent with the healthy behaviors that you want to be. And then a perfect body. This is a big one when we're talking about eating and weight, right? And none of us have perfect bodies. We as physicians know this because we see a lot of human bodies. We see human bodies in all ages, all shapes, all forms. Nobody has a perfect body. It doesn't exist. If you talk to people who have culturally defined, quote unquote, perfect body, they probably would not think that their body was perfect. They would perceive imperfections or places where it's not quite good enough as well, just as we all do. Holding ourselves to these standards, like I said, impacts your day. You go through your day feeling like you're just not quite enough. That is a strain to your whole day. it takes you away from enjoying your life to its fullest. It may take you where you're not totally engaged in a patient encounter because you're thinking, oh, another doctor would figure this out, or another doctor would be able to handle this situation better. It can make it so you don't enjoy your time with your kids as much because you're thinking you should be doing something differently, or you should have done more. Or you should have baked the homemade cupcakes to send to their school that morning. You should have somehow figured out a way to be volunteering in their school when you were also working full-time as a physician. All of these things, right? So it has a cost to your day. It drags your day down, which has implications on your mood, implications on your energy, implications on burnout, right? Like if you're a physician doing the hard work that you do, but also telling yourself you're somehow not doing it well enough, that is going to be a risk factor to getting burnt out. Nobody wants to work hard and also hear how it's never enough. And when we do that to ourselves, it has a real cost. It's not fair, especially when we're doing that to ourselves because we hold a standard that is actually perfection. And perfection does not exist. It's not fair. All of this impacts eating and weight, because if you spend your day feeling kind of crummy because you're not quite reaching whatever hidden standard you have for yourself, you're judging yourself in how you're showing up in really important areas of your life, a lot of people would choose to eat at the end of the day because that is a day of feeling this baseline stress, discomfort, shame, all these other emotions. And those are very powerful emotions that can trigger eating later in the day. At some point, your brain might be like, you know what? I feel really crappy right now. What can we do? Because I don't have a lot of energy. Let's reach for the snacks in the cupboard. That won't take much energy. This topic has real implications for quality of life. It has real implications for job satisfaction. It does also have implications for your long-term eating and weight journey. And that's why it's so important. Let's do some fun ones. Let's just think about if the perfect doctor, like if you tell yourself you're just not quite a good enough doctor, or you say, oh, a better doctor would have done that better. I want you to think, what does that better doctor or the perfect doctor, however you phrase it in your mind, what do they do? What are the features or qualities of them that make them a better doctor, that make them a perfect doctor? And I encourage you, if you're able to, sit down and write this out, because it'll be a little different specialty to specialty, right? Common ones that come up is a perfect doctor or a better doctor never makes mistakes. They always know all the information that they need. They don't have to like delay stuff to go look things up. They're able to diagnose everything. They don't miss diagnoses. They don't delay diagnoses. They're able to motivate their patients adequately so their patients engage in their care. They're able to navigate difficult patient conversations with ease without getting riled. They can get their staff to do what they need their staff to do easily. They get their notes done on time. They're not spending their evenings doing notes. They go to all the meetings that are asked of them, smile, exact change in the meetings, somehow get people to listen to them in all those meetings. If they're in a surgical specialty, they probably never have complications. Or if they do, they're only minor complications. Listen to all of these things. Obviously, as physicians, we want to do the best for our patients. We do not want to purposely make mistakes or do something that will harm patients. However, we are also human. That means that we can do our best for a patient, but not necessarily be perfect. And the reality is, being human, there will be times where you don't get it right. There will be times where there are complications related to your care. And those things don't mean that you're not a good enough doctor. They're part of being a doctor. And they're honestly part of why being a doctor is challenging, because it takes strength and courage to stand there and know that you are imperfect and wish that you were, but know that you may have made a mistake, know that you may have not got something right, and have to proceed, talk to the patient, keep working on it. That takes a huge amount of courage. Showing up every day, knowing that you could make a mistake, knowing that something you do could impact a patient in a negative way, despite your best intentions, takes a huge amount of courage and strength. The fact that we're human and not perfect does not take away from you as a physician. If anything, we could also look at the perfect doctor is that actually who we want to be. Like, yes, they're perfect. They get everything done. They do it all right. But is that actually the person we want to be? And you get to decide. You can question this. Have you ever met somebody who's never made mistakes, never had complications? I think, honestly, in medicine, it doesn't get talked enough about because most of us are holding ourselves to this standard, right? And medical legal reasons, too. But when we have a complication or feel like we've made a mistake, most times, either we keep it inside, don't talk to anybody, feel very ashamed, very anxious, beat ourselves up for a prolonged time about it. I remember losing like sleep for multiple nights in a row. Worse when I was a newer grad, but just perceiving that I'd missed something where it didn't actually have harm was enough where I couldn't sleep. My brain would not shut off about it. Because to be fair, I think there is an element when you're going through medical school and training of let's strive for perfection too. So we internalize it, but then we can't meet it because nobody actually can. I think there can be a lot of power to talking about it. And, you know, if it's never something you've talked about, and this is something you really identify with, talk to some of your colleagues, especially if they're colleagues that you look at and you think they have all their shit together. Talk to them and be like, hey, do you ever struggle with feeling like you're not quite doing this well enough? I think you'd be very surprised at what they would say and how many of them would identify with it. And that might actually be freeing to have those conversations. I think it would be good for us in medicine as a whole to have more of those conversations. Let's shift over to the perfect mom, perfect parent. Because this is another, I see this so much in women physicians, is we're in a high demand career that takes a lot of time, takes a lot of mental energy. But then we also hold ourselves to standards that are probably more reminiscent of a stay-at-home mom, of what we should be doing with our children and what we should be able to do with our children. And it's really not fair because then we have these two, like a stay-at-home mom is a full-time working mom. That's their job. When we think as a physician who is working a full-time physician job that we should also be doing a job similar to somebody whose focus is taking care of the kids, it's not very fair to ourselves. It's like we're telling ourselves we need to do these two full-time jobs, both perfectly and also smile and be happy, right? And then also take care of ourselves, eat healthy, never touch junk food, always be exercising. It's unfair standards. And I think culturally, as women have progressed and been more into the workforce, culturally, the expectations that the woman is still the person taking care of things at home has stayed. Through social media and stuff like that, there's this projection of what being a mom looks like that is only shown as the good sides of being a mom. All the amazing, enriching activities that you could do. And not many people on social media are showing the times where they're screaming at their kids and they really just wish people would stop touching them and leave them alone for a little bit, wishing they could like run away to a hotel room. Not saying that I've ever wished that, but maybe I have many times. It's a skewed view. And so our mirror neurons view that and they're like, okay, well, I guess I need to be doing it like that then. Okay. And maybe if you're the physician mom and your kids are to school where some of the moms are stay-at-home moms, so they do have more time to volunteer in the class, go on the field trips, and you're perceiving, well, I need to also play that role or else I'm somehow not enough. But then you're trying to fit it into your life as a physician. It's really not fair. I think it's especially not fair when we're doing it because we think if we don't do it, we're not enough. It's different if we're doing it because we're like, you know what? I can see space in this week. It would be fun for me to go do that. That's different. If you're like, I'm a great parent, even though I'm not always at my kid's school. But, you know, this week I could actually go do that. And I think that would be fun. Very different from, oh my gosh, I really need to be volunteering for that field trip because I'm not spending enough time at the kid's school. The other parents are doing more. That doesn't feel good. So let's think about what's a perfect mom. Or perfect parent, what would that look like? If you're not a parent, you can think of what other roles do you feel like you're not enough in? Do you judge yourself for? So perfect mom, I would say, always happy, never yells, always like really happy to see her kids and enjoys every single moment she has with her kids, spends every spare moment she has with her kids, never does something that would take her away from times where she could be with the kids. Like I've mentioned, volunteers at the school, goes on field trips, plans enriching activities for the kids, keeps them all neat and tidy, no chaos in her life. Her house does not look like my house. Manages to get the kids to do their chores and they're really happy to do their chores, feeds them all healthy meals. And guess what? The kids actually eat the healthy meals. I bet she never hears, I don't really like this. Or when the kid says, hey, what's for dinner? And she tells them, oh, I don't like that. Her children would be like, oh, thank you, mother. You make the most wonderful meals ever. I really appreciate you, Mom. What other things do we think a perfect mother does? Always looks pretty, never looks disheveled. Like she's just barely holding things together. Gets her kids to do their activities. Never lets her kids have too much screen time. There's so many different layers to it that we could be judging ourselves for. And, you know, we have to ask, too, holding ourselves to these perfection standards, are they helpful for other people in our lives? If that's our standard and we are doing it because we feel like we're not enough unless we do all that, and so we're stressing ourselves out to do it, is that actually good for the kids? And I don't have an answer for you. That's just a bit of a rhetorical question to think about. Is that actually what I want to model for my kids? Because remember, your kids will pick up on not what you say, but how you live your life. They will pick up on the priorities that you exhibit in how you live your days. Are those the priorities that we want to demonstrate to the kids? Maybe some, maybe others, not so much. But the point here is you get to choose. If we're just assuming that we have to be in that perfect model in order to be enough, you never question the individual parts of it. You get to question all of it. You get to be whatever you want to be. And you get to decide that you are enough. Because here's the thing in all of this, guys. There is nobody in your life who will tap you on your shoulder and say, congratulations, you are now good enough. I've been watching it for a while. I've been waiting, but you have crossed a line. You are now good enough. Congratulations. You can stop working on it. Nobody is going to do that for you. Not to mention, it'd be super creepy if they did. But it's not something that's coming. The only person that can tell you that you are good enough in these areas of your life is you. And that's the beauty, because you actually get to decide what constitutes being good enough. You don't have to wait for perfection, because perfection is never, ever, ever coming. You get to decide now. Maybe I'm actually more than good enough right now. Maybe I am working hard enough at this. Maybe I am prioritizing my kids enough. Maybe me taking a little bit of time for me doesn't mean I'm a worse mother. Maybe I'm still more than a good enough mother when I'm prioritizing my own self-care. All of these definitions are flexible. They're made up. So you can buy into this perceived societal definitions of what it should look like, but you're never actually going to achieve that. Or you can start owning it and taking control over it and being like, these are my definitions. Kids are fed. Kids aren't going to school in their underwear. Yeah, it's a win. Some days that is good enough. Other days, you know, maybe do more, but you get to decide what the thresholds are. And you also get to decide how you talk to yourself if you think maybe you would like to do better in a certain area. Like, we can shame ourselves to try to make ourselves do better, but again, worsens your day. It's going to make you want to eat. So what's the point? Because it won't necessarily make you change. Or we can be like, you know what? I can actually speak nicely to myself. I can have a conversation. When I notice myself saying, oh, I'm not doing that well enough, I can have a conversation of, what definition am I holding myself to? Is that a standard I want to continue to hold myself to? And if so, how do I want to create change that feels good to try to aim towards that standard? Not meeting one of those standards does not mean you are a bad doctor, bad mom, or whatever the threshold is. There's not either you're perfect or you're bad. You're pretty freaking amazing, no matter where you are. And yes, you could decide to intentionally change some things, but that doesn't necessarily make you more amazing. It just means, hopefully, that you're following your values and that you're feeling that you're honoring the values that are important to you more by focusing on different areas. But it's hard to follow your values when you're viewing the whole thing as, I need to be perfect in this whole area. In all of motherhood, I must be perfect, makes it really hard for you to be like, which are the specific parts of motherhood that are the important values that I think really matter to me, to my family, to my kids' future life. And again, we as the parents get to decide that, right? I hope that this has been helpful for you. I think this is a really important topic to just always be considering, because going to bed at night, feeling like you are not enough, that you are just not quite achieving enough, is a waste, and it is not true. You are more than enough. You do amazing things every single day. Even on the days where you feel like you may have made a mistake, you are still doing amazing things. One mistake does not take away from all the other amazing things you've done. Decide what you want to focus on, the one mistake or all the amazing things that you did. that helped people, that made your kids feel loved and appreciated. Think about it that way. All right. Have a fantastic week, everybody. Please come join us inside the Binge Freedom Bootcamp if you haven't already. This week is the last live episode. If you're listening to this later on, you can still join and get access to the replays. So still register. It's weightsolutionsforphysicians.ca/binge is how you register for this. And you really want to come. Tonight, I just finished the second live session and little pat on my back, but it was really good. This is stuff you have not heard before. This is approaches you have not seen before. You want to get access to it. Talk to you later. Bye-bye.